So, now, our Bibles are now situated in a box, just behind Felicia there. So if you'd like to grab a Bible, if you haven't, if every week we dish out these Bibles, if you have your own Bible, if you don't, put it this way, if you don't have your own Bible, let me know and we'll sort you out. If you don't, but if you do have your own Bible, why not bring it to church? Because then, particularly when I was a younger Christian, people would say to me, you know that verse? And I was starting to learn verses of different bits of the Bible and getting to know it. And I would think, I know that person. So there was a family that used to be in this church called John and Anu. And you could ask any scripture and they were better give you the verse, like literally the reference, just like that. I was never as good as that, and I never have been. But I can always tell you where it is in my Bible. It's top left-hand corner, about two-thirds of the way through, in the book of Ephesians, I think. And I usually find things. The reason being, our Bibles are laid out slightly differently, aren't they? Because they're printed differently. So if you got your own Bible and you get familiar with it, you'll better find your way around it a lot easier if you just... Yeah. Yeah. Sorry? Yeah. If you use it. Well, there's that. Yeah. And, yeah. I also had a friend who, when she bought a new Bible, she would deliberately go through and crease all the pages to make it look like she'd read it a lot. So you can do that if you want. Just a few spiritual tips on how to grow in faith. All right. Maybe the first one is more useful than the second one, but if you want to crease your pages, don't do it in the church Bible, please.
My first Bible was given to me by Liam. Actually, the front page and the back page are no longer there.
Right. So, yeah. Anyway, so there we go. So we're going through the scriptures, we're going through the story of God. And one thing I just want to impress upon you is this story that we're telling, that we're retelling as we read the scriptures, is you can think of it, this happened a long, long time ago, nothing really to do with us in one sense, because it happened literally thousands of years ago, also thousands of miles away. But a very Jewish way of reading the story is to say, this is our story. And this, as we're reading it, is happening to us as we read it. And so if you read the Exodus story, and in the Passover meal, for instance, they don't think, we're remembering this thing that happened as we eat the meal. They're saying, on this night, this is happening to us. We are escaping. We are fleeing from Egypt. We are the ones that are being rescued. And so as we read this story, let us understand that it is our story, and these things are happening to us. Today we're going to be looking at the Ten Commandments. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, which I can tell you in my old Bible was second column in, somewhere in Exodus. I could always find that. Exodus chapter 20. Just want to say, you know, people often say, oh, well, religion in general, but Christianity, oh, that's just about keeping the rules, isn't it? Ever come across somebody sort of saying that? You're just all about rules, having to do this, not allowed to do that, goody two-shoes Christians, that kind of thing. Has anyone ever come across anything like that, or am I preaching to the wrong crowd today? Okay, all right. So we're going to look at these Ten Commandments and see what actually is that true, what they're about. So let's read these Ten Commandments and then we'll take it from there. So Exodus chapter 20 says this, and God spoke all of these words. That in itself is a profound line to read. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. So, those are the Ten Commandments. If you're counting, you can go through, you can count, but there's 10 of them there. Now, here's where this fits into the story. Now, it's important we understand that this is part of the story that we read. So the story so far, I'm going to just very briefly recap, is that Israel were captives in Egypt, then they were freed from slavery. That has happened. That is complete. Then God, as you remember, Katie spoke a couple of weeks ago, she spoke about how God said to Israel, "Now you are my treasured possession, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." That has happened. God, and in doing that, God made a covenant with Israel. Remember that all these covenants are happening. The covenants are important. Covenant with Noah for all creation. Covenant with Abraham for all nations. Covenant with Israel for one nation. So can you see things are refining in? They're sort of zooming in the focus. So all of that has happened. And then he says, do these things. These Ten Commandments. Now the story of God is a story. And if you get the sequence wrong, it kind of messes with it slightly. I mean, if you imagine the story of Cinderella, you've got this beautiful young lady who's happily married to a prince, who ends up as a slave girl working for her ugly sisters wearing rags. Abby just said, no, it's the other way around. Exactly. Good point. Yes. I'm glad you're listening. Because if that were the story, we'd be like, who would want to read that? I mean, that's no fun. It's all about Cinderella. You shall go to the ball and all of that, yeah? Some of you looking puzzled as if you say, is that really the story of Cinderella? You realise I told it the wrong way around, right? Yeah, okay. So if you read the story out of sequence, it doesn't make much sense. And so we need to understand the Bible. So when you're reading the scriptures, it's because what we do with the Bible, isn't it? We sometimes open it up, we often open it up, in the middle, think you're going to get some wisdom, and you will, but if you don't understand where this bit fits in the rest of it, you can get yourself a little bit confused. All right? So, the commandments Moses gave to the children of Israel after they'd been set free. This is really important. After they've been set free. The law, the keeping of the commandments, the doing the things that God said, was not the way that the Israelites got their freedom. People get this wrong. They think if we do the good things, this is what so many people think, this is what Christianity is. Do the right things, God will be pleased with you, and you might just get to heaven. Yeah? People think that's Christianity. Maybe some of you think that. I just want to tell you, might want to rethink after today, hopefully. Because if you look at this, the people of God were set free from slavery, and then God gave them some laws, and I'll explain the laws in a second, but the laws were really, like, now you're free, this is how to live free. Yeah? So now, from us as Christians, it's now you are Christians, now God has forgiven you and given you eternal life, now live like you've got that. Don't live like you used to. God's commands are for free people. Because we, in our mixed up world, tend to think that laws and commandments, they're all a bit kind of restricting. I mean, who would want to do these things? That stops me doing this. That's not freedom. But actually, in the story, we need to understand that these commands are given so that now you can be free people. This is what it looks like to be free people. Live like this. So these things, these Ten Commandments apply not to the Egyptians in the olden days, but they apply to the Israelites who are now free. Now you live like this. And for us as Christians, we need to look at this. And when God speaks to us, his people, these are the ways. When you read Jesus' commands, which are all really based on this set of rules that God gives, he says, my people, live like this. If you want to be part of my people, you can be. Now, this is what it looks like. The invitation is freely accepted, but now this is what it looks like. The other thing about that is, now don't get frustrated with people who aren't Christians or people who aren't the Lord's, who don't live by the rules. I drove into London the other day. Keith was talking about traffic the other day. I'll tell you some stories about, I was getting bombarded, literally. I don't know what's happened in London, but it was just like, it was like a war zone. I was like driving in a war zone, and I was starting to fume, if I'm honest. And just with the people around me, it's like, ah. But then I'm thinking, why would they drive any differently? If they're not the Lord's, well, nobody with a fish sticker, actually. Good job. Coming up. If you're going to put a fish sticker on you, and that's fashionable now, but it used to be, fish stickers on your car was to signify that you were a Christian driver, which I just thought was like kick me sign as well, because the slightest bit of any indiscretion in your driving, and it's like, see those Christians, hypocrites, you know, that kind of thing. So now we keep it quiet. Why am I saying all of this? Because, yeah, you know, we can't expect people who aren't the Lord's to behave like the Lord's people. But we really, if we are the Lord's, there should be something in us that is growing and developing so that we become like the way he'd like us to become. Okay, so the law is a way of being. Now you're free. Now, an interesting thing. If you turn the Ten Commandments upside down and back to front, I'm going to read it to you. So you might want to track in your Bibles. If you turn to verse 17, and we're going to read it backwards, not saying what it says, but saying the opposite of what it says in the wrong order. Watch with me, okay? Okay? We will call this 10 worldly commandments. All right. Number one, desire everything that people have around you. Yeah? Their possessions, their lifestyle, their house, maybe even their spouse. Desire their phone, their gadget, their TV. You know, we even sit watching TV thinking, I'd like to have that thing. We read magazines and say, I'd like to live that lifestyle. Well, that's what we think anyway. Command number one. Command number two. Freely gossip. Put people down. You know, voice your opinion. Slander the people around you. You have the right to free speech at any cost. Command number three. Take whatever you need. You deserve it. Command number four, sleep with lots of people, it's good and normal, and when it's right, commit adultery. Command number five, killing isn't that bad. Unborn babies, old people, disabled people, sick people, you know, you can find a clinic somewhere and get it done. Anyone else? Anyone else in society doesn't seem that important. I mean, even presidential candidates you don't like, give it a go. I don't know what you think of what happened today. I don't know what you think about Donald Trump. And I tell you, I'm not a great fan of his. But that just shows lawlessness. And that's not our way. That's not our way. So killing, 10 worldly commandments, that's all right. Number six, have no respect for your parents, especially your father. I mean, what do they know about anything? Hey, we'll leave it there. But you know, the whole ethos of today is it's child-led everything. Yeah. Education is child, I mean, everything is child-led. Had recent demonstrations that recently. Yeah, anyway, moving on. Command number seven, 24/7 everything. Do not stop. Phone on all the time. Make sure you check messages all the time. Work all the time. Keep going all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. Stimulation, stimulation, stimulation. activity, workaholism, stimulation. Don't stop. Stay up late. Get up early. Command number 8. Don't take the Lord's name seriously. He's a joke. Question his authority and his ability. And just use his name as a sort of vulgar pronounced sort of punctuation mark, you know. Stick it in conversation that way. Command number 9. Make and collect and serve as many things as possible. Worship yourself. Work, create your own idol of yourself. Your self-image. I mean, so much today is about like me and my image. You will address me the way I want you to address me. It's all about me. We've made ourselves the idol. Last one. Either have no God or have as many gods as possible. And hedge your bets. Have no God. I mean, people think that's science. We've got into this crazy situation where you're either scientific and therefore can't believe in God, or you're a nutter and you believe in God. I just want to say to you, it's okay to have a scientific worldview and believe in God at the same time.
Thank you, sir.
You know, yeah, it's okay. People think you're crazy, but they think you're crazy anyway, so it's all right. So, yeah, that's the scientific way. Or we're so inclusive that we have all the gods are okay. So everything's, it's all included. We're all right. And that's the world we live in. That's what happens when you turn the Ten Commandments upside down. Pretty good description of the world we live in, isn't it? Not only the flipping of it around, but also the priority. The priority has become self, maybe others, definitely not God. Read the Ten Commandments. God, others, doesn't even mention self. Everything the world puts in chaos, God puts in order in the Ten Commandments. And that shouldn't be a surprise. Turn the Ten Commandments upside down and you get a godless people. But, as I said earlier, we shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't worry when the world isn't living like we think it should. We should worry, though, when the church isn't living like Jesus commanded us to live. Because the thing is, if we are God's people living in his way, we're actually the right way around. This is the way life was intended to be. With Jesus as the foundation. In Christ, we're supposed to be a different people. See, this idea of being a holy nation, this is what it means. To be as different to the world as God is different. Not to be different and weird just for the sake of it. I've come across plenty of people who think that they're doing God a favour by just being weird. No, to be as different to the world as he is different. Because holiness, in essence, is about difference. So we're called to be a holy people because God is holy. We're called to be different to the world as God is different. We're called to be not to conform to the pattern of this world, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. A people who live not by the rule of the kingdom, but not by the rule of this world, but the rule of the kingdom of God. See, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now we're reading this because the scriptures, as if he's speaking to us. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the people in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God, your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says they will see your good works. Not your good works will get you into heaven. But actually, they will see your good works. They won't necessarily read your statement of faith on your church website and think, oh, that sounds good, I'll join that. Probably not. They probably won't think, oh, you know, they're a clever thinker. They've sorted it out. And I want to be like that. No, probably not. What they'll see is, I've experienced this, you know, people say, you're different. I want to be like you. Yeah? In fact, actually, as you behave differently, I've also experienced that people around you start behaving differently. When I'm playing, there's a number of the bands that I play in. I left one band for quite a long period of time. I went back and And I said, how things been, you know, the last however long? And the guy said, we've drunk a lot more alcohol since you haven't been here. So we can have this influence. We can bring light where there's darkness. Jesus calls us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. They're not good works to gain salvation, but they're the works that come from salvation. So, just in summary, you probably know this, but Jesus summarizes all this. How does he summarize it? He says, simple. What's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God. Yeah? Pretty much the first three commandments are that. That's how you do it. He's summarizing that. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. So if you can't remember the Ten Commandments, and I wasn't going to be... I got to nine myself this week. I thought, I wonder if I can remember these. I got to nine. I forgot to... Don't slander your neighbour. But if you can't remember all ten, do remember these two. Love God. Love everyone else. Including your enemies. Those people that cut you up in London. Yeah, I know. Took me a while. Why? So that we'll be different. Why do we want to be different? Not because we just want to be different, but because we want to be like God. We want to grow in Christ-likeness. We want to be more like him so that our light will shine in the world. So where there is darkness, where there's a lot of darkness in our world, that there will be a light shining. So, I wonder, just to finish, have a scan through those Ten Commandments. Which is the one that challenges you the most at the moment? And how can we live differently? If we just take that, how can we be transformed and how can we live differently if we were to take that on board? You might even want to just say, turn to your confession time. I've been doing some confession this last week. Turn to your neighbour, well, the person next to you, and say, I'm struggling with this, pray for me. Because I felt like murder. I'll be honest with you, Keith. There was a guy, and I feel like murder when I get cut up. And this guy, the thing was, he looked at me as if saying, I don't like you. I'm not letting you in this space. Normally it's just car on car, but this was personal. And I was like, these feelings inside of me, where's this coming from? And then I'm starting to think, where is this coming from? Murder inside me. On the streets of London.
Thank God you don't have any peace.
Yeah, exactly. I was only in a Fiat 500, so I was I was relatively safe. But if I'd been in a bigger tank, it would have been a different situation. Yeah, so maybe just, let's be honest and say, okay, I need help. I need help so that we can be God's people. I'll give you a couple of seconds to do that, and then we'll take communion.